go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We've seen this morning, we ought to praise God for his charity. And Paul is saying here in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." We use the illustration, there was a man who left a will saying, being of sound mind and body, I spent it all. And but the blessing of the whole thing is when we look at Christ, he didn't spend it at all. He paid it all. He left it all to us. And that's a blessing to see. We need to praise God for his charity. We've seen the source of the blessings. We've seen that God is good. God is the source. And after we see God for who he really is, we realize, or we come to that realization, that he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. And all blessings, as we've seen in James chapter 1 and verse 17, all blessings come from above. All good things come from God. Not only is God blessed, we said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he is the blesser. And then in Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And then we're going to see there in verse 3, the second part of this, we see the subject of this blessings. We see the subject of these blessings. Paul says that God hath blessed us. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we see the subject of the blessings. The word "us" Paul is referring to are the saints, the faithful that were mentioned in verse 1. As we see there in verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." And then he goes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All those that are saved by grace through faith are the recipients of God's blessings. Our blessings to him are the words we say. As we talk, we've seen there in Hebrews, we are the sacrifice of praise. Is we lift up our voices and praise God. That's a sacrifice, a sweet smelling savor to him. His blessings to us are the deeds he performs in our lives. But it says, "God hath blessed us," which is the same word that is used about him. And we looked at that this morning. The word "blessed" simply means, saying something good about him. But we see, see if I can find it here. But he is, blessed be God. We speak praises of him. Well, he blesses us. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 is turned there. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. This is a very familiar verse, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think of towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." See, God has good thoughts towards his children. God is always thinking good thoughts about his children. Those good thoughts translate into good deeds in our lives. He's always wanting to bless us, as long as we're being obedient. Why? Because we are his. He loves us. He pours out his blessings in our lives. Because God has chosen to save us, he chooses also to bless us for for His glory. He wants to pour out a blessing from heaven, just as He talks about in Malachi when we talk about tithes and offerings. He's just waiting. He's wanting us to live obediently, but He also wants to be able to bless us. He says in chapter 3 of Malachi, in verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me." He says, "Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." If we would only prove God and be obedient in giving as He wants us to, He's going to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give His all to us. It's amazing to think about all the saint, what the saints possess in Christ. It's amazing to think about when He talks about all spiritual blessings in heaven and places in Christ. We give praise to God for all He has done, because He has done everything. He blesses us in ways far greater than we deserve, and He is so good to us, and we are absolutely unworthy. It's just hard to understand why He would want to bless us, why He would want to give us salvation, because we are unworthy. And just to, I just love that song we sang this morning, and I'll probably sing it again here in the future. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. I mean, we owe everything to God, to Jesus. Not only do we see the source of blessing, we see the subject of blessings, we're the subject, but we also see the scope of those blessings. We see that in verse 3. The scope of the blessings is all spiritual blessings, or spiritual blessings. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The word all means total or whole or of every kind. We have been given everything that God has to offer. If we'd only realize that we have the access to everything. When we came to Christ by faith, God opened the treasure houses of heaven and authorized us to receive unlimited spiritual resources. He opened it all up to us. A good example, it talks about us being fellow, we're adopted, joint heirs in Christ, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. We're joint heirs. We have access to everything. God has blessed us far above anything we deserve. And see, we need to thank God for this boundless blessings in our lives. We need to thank Him for them. And sometimes we get so caught up in things of life that we fail to thank God for everything He's done for us. We seem to forget, but yet it's brought back to our memories because He continues to bless us. So we see the source, the subject, we see the scope of the blessings, we see the sort of these blessings. All spiritual blessings. The word spiritual translates the Greek word pneumatikos, always referring to the Holy Spirit. God has given to everything, to us, everything that the Spirit of God can deliver to us. Everything we could possibly need or want has been dispensed to us through the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Second Peter, and then we got several verses that we're going to turn to. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3, it says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." See, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Then we're going to look at some of the promised spiritual gifts that He promises us. And first of all, we're going to see He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. See, we go back to verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ." But we see there are some promised spiritual gifts. The first thing we see there in Isaiah chapter 56 is an everlasting name. See, we're going to be, not only are we going to receive a new body, we're going to receive a new name, an everlasting name. Isaiah chapter 56. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." We're promised an everlasting name. But then, not only that, we see in Jeremiah chapter 24, we're promised spiritual knowledge. We're promised spiritual knowledge. This is one of those spiritual gifts. Chapter 24 and verse 7 says, "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." See, I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. We're given spiritual knowledge, a heart to know God. He's going to give us a new, and then not only do we have spiritual knowledge, but in Ezekiel chapter 11, he's going to give us a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 11. He's going to take out an old stony heart, and he's going to give us a heart of flesh. He's going to give us a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19, it says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh." See, that's the point of conversion. He'll give us a new heart. There's going to be a transformation that takes place there. So we're given an everlasting name, a spiritual knowledge, a heart to know God, a new heart. But then we see in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to be given spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He promises us spiritual rest. We can find rest. We got to take up his yoke. He says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why? Because he's carrying the load. And that's the blessing. He's going to give us spiritual rest. But then we see in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. We're starting verse 11. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The gift of the Holy Spirit, he's going to give them to us. And when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and abides in our bodies. He abides with us. So we're given the gift. It's a spiritual gift of eternal, the Holy Spirit. And then we see in John chapter 10, in verse 28, we're given the gift of eternal life. Starting verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So he gives us eternal life. But then he says, as we looked earlier, and you don't need to turn here, but I'll turn there just real quick and read the verse. James chapter 1 verse 7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, within whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he gives us the gift of eternal life. But then we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. See, there's another spiritual gift. It's a promised spiritual gift there, a spiritual crown. He will give us the crown of life. We see also in chapter 2 and verse 17, we say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. See, there's another verse talking about a new name. We're going to have a new name, an everlasting name. There's a spiritual crown, the crown of life. That's another gift. It's a promised gift. And then we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1. Verse 3. So we see that we have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We also see in Romans chapter 8, if you keep there in the Ephesians, because we'll be coming back, but Romans chapter 8, in verse 29, it's a little warm, you want to pop the window? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's going to give us all things freely if we ask him. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. See, he makes all available to us. And then we see in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12 and verse 13, says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, we're giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. So he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See, we've asked for things. We can be guilty sometimes of asking for things that we already have available to us. We pray for love, and he's already promised us that he would give us love. His love will be shed abroad in our hearts. We pray for peace. And in John 14 and verse 27, he promises us peace. John 14 and verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not the world giveth, but giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But he says, peace I leave with you. So sometimes people pray for peace. Well, he leaves his peace with us. He talks about the peace that passes all understanding. We pray for joy. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, whom having not seen you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then it's just part of, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the second thing he mentions is joy. It's a fruit that the Spirit manifests through us. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance against us, there is no law. So when we pray for joy, it's already been promised to us. These are some things that are the fruit of the Spirit. We pray for strength, and he says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. We worry over our needs, and he says he'll supply all of our needs through Christ. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to give us what we need. We seek his presence. But he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. So there's some things that we pray for that we don't need to pray for because it's already been promised to us. It's part of the gifts or the fruits of the Spirit. See, we think we have a lot of things we don't have, but in truth, we possess great riches that we have never tapped into. So may the Lord help us to simply take Him at His word and lay hold on spiritual blessings we already possess in Christ. See, His blessings are unlimited. They're unlimited. But then we see the storehouse of the blessings in verse 3 in heavenly places. The storehouse of these blessings. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It talks about us being citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about us, we're strangers and pilgrims passing through this present world. Our storehouse is of these blessings is in heavenly places. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye have straightened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And then he goes on to say, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But Paul is stating here that we're citizens of heaven. How in the world can Paul have the outlook he did, as he did there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8 and 9, He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He had the outlook because we were citizens of heaven. And that's what kept it. He had that hope. The hope of heaven. He was between two desires. He wanted to be home with Christ because he knew if he died, he would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But then also, he wanted to stay there to help them. So he was tied between, but we're citizens of heaven. See, as we allow the Spirit of God to fill us and use us, he produces all spiritual blessings of heaven in our souls. As we see there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit. As we are yielded to Him, He's able to work through us and produce the fruits. But then lastly, we see the state of these blessings in Christ. In Christ. And we see in Romans chapter 8, we are joint heirs with Christ. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. What He does, we do. What Christ does, we do. First John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, He hath said He abideth in Him, ought Himself also to walk, even as He walked. See, He is our example. We are to follow in His footsteps. So what He does, we do. What He possesses, we possess. Why? Because we're joint heirs. His privileges are our privileges. And it says in chapter 2 of verse 18 of Ephesians, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, His privileges are our privileges. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, all of this just reminds us how truly blessed we really are in Christ. It just reminds us. So we see the storehouse of the blessings. We see the state of the blessings. See, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are truly blessed in Christ. Let's pray.